Several times, preachers get asked to do different themes or different songs, specific songs, things like that. That's what I want us to do this morning, is to take a few moments. I have all kinds of folders that it shouldn't have. But there's songs talking about how we should behave with our brethren and the burdens that we should share. Those things are always a part of our worship, or should be at least. And then, of course, there's things that we talk about in encouragement from one brother to another brother in Christ. And all of those are very helpful and encouraging as they were intended. We'll have to flip through a lot of these things, but you know about the Sermon on the Mount. We've taught on that, taught various aspects of it, taught the whole thing as a part of evangelistic efforts oftentimes. For instance, the Sermon on the Mount, I'll read a few of these, where it talks about the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those are all familiar themes that we might very well spend an opportunity of our time to look and address some of those things and appreciate all that has been done for us and for them. He preached here the last time I preached up here. I believe it was probably close to a month or maybe more, talking about the resurrection of Christ and how that ought to fit into our lives, as well as the Sermon on the Mount, as we learn to appreciate those things. And we talked about various aspects of the Sermon on the Mount and more specifically, the resurrection being the theme of the Bible, not very different than what some will preach today. Turn with me, if you will, to in Judges chapters 4 and 5, we're introduced to a number of different things. But if you remember the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, we see that the problems begin to arise. Of course, they were always complaining God's people should not do that. But the Jews were constantly complaining about various things. One of the things here in Judges 4 and 5 is the time when Reuben, Gad, and Asher, that's not right, we'll just say Reuben was on the among those that were trying to get others to appreciate God. They thought that they were, Manasseh was another one, but they wanted before they went into the promised land totally, they were careful about everything. They wanted the part of Galilee involved in the land base that they had. And of course, they did just that. They were granted permission to, as long as you go in the promised land and come back and help your brethren with the troubles that they will face as a conquering type of nation, just a number of different things, and just flip through the Bible and just nearly every section where it get into a different subject entirely. I just turned to Jeremiah. Remember, he was the one whose wife died. And he was told to accept that, and the next day it happened. He died, or rather she died, and then they had to get on to them about keeping their promise to help their brethren take over the area of known as Galilee, that is just below the Sea of Galilee, in the wilderness, not in the wilderness, but after they had come out of the wilderness. And then, let's see, Ezekiel chapter 18, I think someone read that passage before. The word of the Lord came to him, that is Ezekiel now. And he is being warned about doctrines that they had and did not seem to be willing to give those things up. But it said, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by opening this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins, it shall die. Turn over just to several verses toward the end of chapter 18. It says, "No, it's." Well, I thought I had it marked. Basically, it says the same thing, just in reverse. The Father shall not bear the iniquity of the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. So it's pretty self-explanatory, nothing real scientific about it. It just, but God has certain plans for His people, and that involves their obedience to Him, no matter where they are, what they are, or what they're doing. We see them participating in a number of different songs, like going through those things. There's all kinds of passages that talk about the resurrection, just dozens, literally, as you go through the New Testament and read there about the resurrection of Christ and all of the things that are associated with that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And a lot of these things are my sermon. I guess I preached it here a number of years ago, like 2004, 2005, something like that. But my sermon on ETHS, you know, it's continuing action is what the idea is of that. For God worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In verse 13, this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And so be that he find it. Verily I say to you that he that rejoiceth more than sheep, than the 99 which went astray," or went not astray. This passage after passage talking about what others were to do and what they were to do. The only difference was they lived under a different law than we live under today. But that doesn't mean that it's completely foreign to us at all. In fact, we should be familiar with that because that's going to help us understand. I don't see how anybody can understand the book of Revelation or the book of Hebrews if they don't have a decent knowledge of the Old Testament there, so far as the work is concerned. We sing a song every now and then, "Let the Lord Lights Be Burning." I used that as an invitation song several years ago. And you remember some of the words is taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 35. It says, "On a dark and stormy night, when the waves rolled like mountains near the Cleveland shore." Cleveland is right on the coast of Lake Erie. And this is where a reporter of no great significance, but he found he saw something that night with those waves rolling like mountains, all of those things, and talks about the ship was coming closer into harbor. The Great Lake there that is taken is a part of our songbooks, and we sing a song like this. Let's see if I can pick up where I left off. It says, "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" They ask the crew asking, "Is this Cleveland? If it's Cleveland, it's a hard road to hoe to come into to the port of Cleveland." And there's an artificial harbor that's positioned there, and ships can come in there and go at their will. But of course, when you don't do God's will, not always good things happen. And so it was here. One of the crew members we're talking about says, "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" asked the captain, "seeing only the lights that are on the lighthouse." "Where are the lower lights?" someone asked. "Where are they?" "Indeed, they're on the lower lights. The lower lights that those torches would be burning with fire and guiding poor sailors into there." They made several pleas, but ultimately the ship crashed into the jetty's wall, and he was, as it Haverdale, Philip Bliss. It was a companion of another fellow, and they were strong in their understanding, and because they knew that there was a slim chance of surviving the sinking of a ship there in the Cleveland Harbor. And so with a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel, and alas, in the darkness, he missed the channel, and with a crash upon the rocks, the boat was shivered. We don't know what shiver does or what it is. They missed the harbor, and several people were killed at that point. This companion of Philip Bliss saw this, all of this thing transpiring, because they were laying behind some of the places where the jetties would come out. And he got to thinking about that. That's material for a sermon. And that's exactly what he did. He wrote the song. And I have the lower lights. And what one man was doing was trying to guide the ships into the harbor. But that did not occur because it was too late with the words from the, you know, "Let the lower lights be burning" is the title of the song that we sing. In fact, a lot of times the songs that we sing are started through some tragedy, sometimes war, all kinds of things. And we have to be careful about those things. I'll read just a portion of this. It says, "With a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel, but alas, it was in the darkness that he missed the channel, and loud was the crash on the rocks, and it was beaten up, no more to be used by the companies that orchestrated these different words of different songs. One of the songs says, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from there's so many ways that you can express that. War is one I mentioned already. Let's see if I can find that real quick. It's not where it's supposed to be. You had that things in your house, your office, or whatever, find things that are amiss because of somebody mislaying them out of order, which often happens until you lose your wife, and I don't have anybody to blame now except for myself. One man, I think, is different signs on how to get to heaven from Texas. Actually, that's the same thing that has to be done by people from Ohio, Florida, Maine, wherever you find members of the Lord's church. They'll be doing their will. And I think it's Billy Moore that wrote an article here a number of years ago. I'm sure that he has passed away since this. But he talks about what God says, and so far as what God says to exchange for all these different things that people were admonishing and things like that, God says that some roads don't go anywhere. They're dead end, no outlet, those kinds of things. Another one, God says to us that we need to turn around and do what God says. Don't just make up your mind, your own mind, about what to do and what to say. But the scriptures are not that technical, not easy to, that they are easy. God says that they need to turn around, but God also says says that there's only one way. Not many ways, but one way. All kinds of things that come out in a song. And what we're talking about is these songs. They have a bigger meaning than just a few words. You know, we need to learn about what is the words that go along with some of the deceptive types of things, and some are from conflicts with other nations. Sometimes it was just a single nation that put up a lot of resistance. But the lower lights was that fatal crash that caused numbers of people to be killed or lost their lives, and they should be easily recognized. But the problem was, a young man had been assigned the position of keeping the lower lights burning. And when those things started to fail, there was just one after another that they did. Certainly some songs ought to be a spiritual song. There's a man by the name of A.W. Dykus. Some of you may be familiar with him. And we sing the song that he made. He was a mathematician as well as a nuclear science. He became the words to our God, He is alive, became a classic even today. And God's people are still rejoicing and exhorting one another and others by the songs that they sing, the words that they say. There is beyond an azure blue a God concealed from heavenly sight. There is beyond the azure blue God concealed and appealed to the heart of man. He tinted skies with a heavenly hue and framed the worlds with His great might, not ours. This was a long time ago. God, whose voice the prophets heard, and it goes through a list of prophets and some of the significant things they prophesied that were fulfilled. In one of the things that A.W. Dykus was very significant in opposition to some of the trials that people were going through. And so there was I don't remember now the denomination one man was, but it was very tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with His great might. And we was talking about Moses and other Old Testament prophets. And the writer to the song, of course, wrote the poem. Then he wrote the words and set them to music. And he did a splendid job of not only recognizing the song itself and the words to the song, he turned many men to Christ. Back then, when he was in his younger years, maybe we should say prime, is that there was things that the song "He Is Alive" was put to music because of his mathematical background and foreground. And so, while some say that it's a difficult song to sing, not really when you get to knowing all of the things and various things are picked up in song that we might otherwise overlook. I'm not going to go over too much. He was a professor at Vanderbilt University in Knoxville, Tennessee, and was training nuclear scientists from that position. And he got them to making weekly appointments, and the problems that they were undergoing was belittling until they got the understanding more and more about all of these things. He dedicated his life to the sale that was utilized at this time about God is dead. He says God is not dead, and he spent much of his life after he quit the University of Vanderbilt. This all kinds of things that he did. He was a nuclear scientist, or at least he was teaching those who became nuclear scientists, and just we can go past that. Talk about the laws that have been changed. The Old Testament law and the New Testament law are different. You know that just as well as I do. Let's wrap this up. There are literally dozens of passages of Scripture that shows hardships. Philip Bliss was in just in terrible poverty. At the age of 8, he stood outside of a building somewhere in North Eastern Ohio, not Ohio, West Virginia, and that set his heart into motion of applying God's word to songs, and how that they were all correct. The more that they saw, the more correct they were. So that's all I've got for this morning. If you're not a Christian, we want you to become one. Do nothing less, nothing else than what God says. Don't allow me to sway you or anyone else, any other man. Do what God says do. And the outcome is going to be much different than what many refer to as the plan of salvation. They want their part in all things. And so it's an opportunity that we have to obey the gospel. We want to provide anyone who's subject to the invitation to come forward now and let those things known as together we sing the song.